We welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're in the midst of a study written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday Schools of May 24th, 1925, about Saul as he began his great career as a preacher of the gospel. And in looking at this study, there's some geographical notes about Syria, Cilicia, Tarsus, and Arabia. And these all figuring into Paul's life at this time. We're going to begin here in just a moment looking at these notes and understanding somewhat the geography of the area we are talking about. Before we do that, I want to remind you the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. But now let's look at these geographical notes. We'll begin with Syria. It is the country north of Palestine and spoken of in the Bible, distinguished from Phoenicia and bounded on the north by the Amanos and Taurus mountains and on the east by the Euphrates and the Arabian desert, on the south by Palestine and on the west by Phoenicia and the Mediterranean Sea, near the mouth of the Orontes River. Damascus was its capital. Cilicia. Cilicia was a province in southeastern part of Asia Minor, between Pamphylia on the west and Syria on the east, with Laconia and Cappadocia on the north, and bordering on the Mediterranean Sea. The main road between Syria on the west passed through Cilicia. It was Paul's native country, and according to God's rule of work, he visited it, and soon after his conversion, and later on visited it a second time in Acts 15. Tarsus. Tarsus was Paul's birthplace. It was the capital of Cilicia, and was no mean city. It was, from an educational, commercial, and political viewpoint, an important city. It was situated on the river Sindus. Here was woven by the women the tent goat. Here was woven by the women the tent cloth of goat's hair from which tents were made. And here Paul learned the craft of tent making. The surrounding country was well adapted to goat raising. And then Arabia. Arabia is frequently mentioned in the Bible. It is called the East Country in Genesis 25:6, and then in the Revised Version, Arabia. Arabia is a triangular peninsula included between the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Seas and the Indian Ocean and the Persian Gulf. Its extreme length, north and south, is about 1,300 miles, and its greatest width, 1,500 miles. There are three divisions of Arabia: Arabia proper, the Arabian Desert, or Northern Arabia, and Western Arabia, including the peninsula of Sinai. Now, with that geographical background, let's look at helps and hints for the teachers. The last lesson gave us an account of Saul's conversion. With this one begins his work as a preacher of the gospel of Christ and as a teacher of Christianity. His name has not yet been changed to Paul, but we know him best by Paul. There's a vast difference between Saul, the chief of sinners, persecuting the church even into foreign cities, dragging men and women into prison and causing them to be put to death, and Paul, the preacher of Christ, and him crucified, and the teacher of Christianity. There was never a purer, more self-sacrificing, more zealous, and more heroic preacher than Paul, except Jesus himself. Different passages of the New Testament show Paul's most abundant labors. I want to read some of those passages. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, "By the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not found in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Whether then it be I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed." And let me read how Paul described his own work in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, beginning in verse 16. And we're going to read on down to the end of chapter 12, which goes to verse 21. 2 Corinthians 11, 16. "Again I say, let no man think me foolish, but if you do, yet as foolish receive me, that I may glory a little. That which I speak not after the Lord, but as in foolishness, and this confidence of glorying, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you bear record of the foolishness gladly, being wise yourselves, for you bear with a man, if he bringeth you into bondage, if he devour you, if he taketh you captive, if he exalt himself, if he smiteth you on the face. I speak by way of disparagement, as though we had been weak. Yet whereinsoever any is bold, I speak in foolishness. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as one beside himself. I more, in labors more abundantly, in prisons more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in deaths oft of the Jews. 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of rivers, in perils of robbers, in perils of my countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor and travail, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that is that which presseth upon me daily, anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is caused to stumble, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things that concern my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas, the king, guarded the city of Damascenes in order to take me. And through a window was I let down in a basket by the wall, and escaped his hands. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. I must needs glory, though it is not expedient. But I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ 14 years ago. Whether in the body I know not, or whether out of the body I know not, God knoweth. Such a one called up under the third heaven. And I know such a man. Whether in the body or apart from the body, I know not, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into the paradise, and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. On behalf of such a one will I glory, but on my own behalf I will not glory, save in my weakness. For if I should desire to glory, I shall not be foolish, for I shall speak the truth, but I forbear, lest any man should account of me above that which he seeth to be, or heareth from me, and by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted overmuch. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, that I should not be exalted overmuch. Concerning this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weakness, in injuries, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 11. I am become foolish. Ye compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For nothing was I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I am nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, by signs and wonders and mighty works. For what is that wherein ye were made inferior to the rest of the churches, except it be that I myself was not a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. 2 Corinthians 12:14. Behold, this is the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for their parents, but the parents for the children. And I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more abundantly, am I loved the less? But be it so. I did not myself burden you, but being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I take advantage of you by any one of them whom I have sent unto you? I exhorted Titus, and I sent the brother with him. Did Titus take any advantage of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? You think all this time that we are exercising ourselves unto you, in the sight of God speak we in Christ? But all things, beloved, are for your edifying. For I fear, lest by any means, when I come, I should find you such not as I would, but I should myself be found of you such as ye would not, lest by any means there should be strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, lest again, when I come, my God should humble me before you, and I should mourn for many of them that have sinned hitherto, and repented not of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Well, you can see by that how diligently Paul was in his labors and how much he worked to be that apostle that the Lord would have him to be. When we learn the villages and the towns and the cities and the countries and the islands and the seas where Paul preached, we get a good view of all the Roman Empire in that part of that day. And we can learn the different kinds of houses in which he preached, and the times, night and day, where he preached, and the many churches he planted, and visited, and edified, and the souls he saved. These souls, he says, will be his crown and joy in the day of judgment and the great hereafter. Paul wrote 14 letters of the New Testament, if we count Hebrews as one of them, to some congregations and to some individual Christians, and volumes have been written on the life of Paul. Now with that, we're going to begin the explanatory notes, and we begin with the right theme. Let me read Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, where it says, Straightway, in the synagogues, he proclaimed Jesus, that he is the Son of God. Well, after Saul had been so instructed by Ananias and had been baptized, he took food and was strengthened. And after this, he was certain days with the disciples that were at Damascus. That is, he remained some time there, including his trip into Arabia, and he returned to Damascus. And this, according to Galatians 1, 17 and 18, was 3 years. And then straightway, as he declares in Galatians 1, 16, without conferring with flesh and blood, but with revelation from God in the synagogues, he proclaimed Jesus, that he is the Son of God, proving that Jesus was the Christ.